the frequencies in the kingdom that are, well, when you touch into them, they don't stop. They multiply. And he can multiply your transformation. Amen. It's probably a lot of things I could share with you, seeing I haven't ministered in a long time, but this is what the Lord, I feel, wants me to share today. If you will, turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. We do things far too often at the levels that are not effective. When you learn to move above and stay above, when you learn whatever that takes in your life, whatever effort that takes, when you do that, you can live a life that's far greater than anything you can ever imagine. God will be with you all the time. Amen. Praise God. Philippians chapter 3. Paul's end of his life here. He's in Rome and he's writing a letter thanking the Philippians for their, really, they were his partners for the whole time of his ministry. They were his financial partners, his prayer partners. When they could find him, God had placed a grace upon them to carry Paul's ministry. And he's reflecting and doing all this he was doing. But in chapter 3, he gave us a little glimpse into a very high-level operation of the apostolic, of something he had learned from God. And we see this in this chapter, what he had learned from walking with God all of those years and having survived all that he survived. And he was still wanting to obtain something. There was something he was looking to obtain, and his heart was set to obtain it. But he found two great operations in God. With all my heart, I want to encourage you to find both of these. Because you find these, I believe, in fact, the church in the last days are going to find these operations. And it's going to be the predominant way that God is going to transform us. Amen? There is going to be a level of transformation that will take place in this last hour, unlike anything we've ever experienced. And in that level of transformation will come the glory of God. Because when you're dealing with the glory of God, you'll have to shift. Because God will be with you in so many things you do. But when you start touching his glory, everything becomes accountable. And you'll have to live a life of accountability before God, where before you didn't have to live like that. He had such a level of grace on your life. But boy, when you get around the glory, wow. And Paul was truly dwelling in this. And so I want to pick this up in verse 4. He said, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. There's a certain thing about confidence that has to shift from confidence in the flesh to confidence in God. Amen. And Paul, I mean, his whole life was built around confidence in flesh and his lineage and being a Pharisee of Pharisees and all the things that he accomplished under the law. And in fact, he said, I kept the law blameless. He was blameless in keeping it. If you have any idea what it would take to do that, finding he was so thirsty and hungry for God, but he did it all the wrong way. You can be hungry and you can be thirsty for God and can do it all the wrong way. Or you can be hungry and thirsty and do it the right way. Or you can be hungry and thirsty and do it the perfect way. Amen. And look at verse 7. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. But I count them but dung that I may win Christ. And here it is. To be found in him. Now we always relate because we're right hand church. We're always relating being found in him is being found in him in the identification of things concerning the right hand of God, found in his righteousness, found in his rest, found in his love, being found in him. But there's another level of being found in him. There's two of them. And I'm going to talk to you about the other one today. The one that I have been thoroughly and continue to be thoroughly exercised in. And to date, it's one of the most powerful places I have found anywhere and anything. And it will deliver you into your destination with God. Amen. Not having my own righteousness. You can say not having my own works. Not having my own wisdom. Not having my own way. There's a way that seemeth right to a man. But in the end, it's not the right way. To be found in him not having our way or doing things the way we've been doing, but found in his way. Amen. Not having my own righteousness. Here Paul was dealing with his lifelong journey to be delivered from operating and fellowshipping with God through the law, through fellowshipping with God by faith and union. He says, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God by faith. Watch this, that I may know him. Watch this. Here's the two great things that Paul the aged had come to in all of his journey with God and all of his revelations. He was summarizing his whole life to two great pinnacles of his life. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, which we are constantly pursuing. And, oh, here we go. The fellowship of your sufferings. His, say his. What'd he say? Found in him. There is a sufferings that you can do outside of him. And there's a different kind you can do with him. That he invites you to do with him. Boy, it got quiet in here now when you start talking about sufferings. Being made conformable unto his death. If by any means, what? I might attain the resurrection of the dead. Do you know what Paul was wanting at the end of his life? He wanted to be an Enoch. He wanted Elijah resurrection. He was so caught up in the glory. He wanted to be caught up by God, like Enoch was. He wanted to be caught up like Elijah was, probably Melchizedek too. But he wanted that kind of resurrection. He was so tuned into the frequency of heaven. He wanted that. Living in a prison cell, that's what he wanted. But he also found another operation that sometimes when you preach it, we view it from the lenses of religion. When we say the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable in his death. Listen, I was raised in a whole platform of this kind of thing where die to flesh, die daily, die, learning how to die, always dying, 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 dying. Now listen to something about dying. If you die the wrong way, it's going to work against you. Because if you have issues of unworthiness or self-hatred or insecurities, what's going to happen? You hear messages, I need to die. Lord, I need to die. You'll start surrendering parts of you that are not supposed to be surrendered. In lieu of trying to get closer to God, you'll start taking on a form of works that I need to do this and I need to do this and I need to do this and I need to do this. And what happens is you'll take on mantles or coverings. You'll start clothing yourself with unworthiness and thinking that is dying. Or clothing yourself in self-hatred. I hate this. I hate this. I'm supposed to die. And thinking that is dying. And what happens is you shift from a God-ordained life that he's called us to live in to something that's been generated from self. And don't even think for a minute the enemy won't come and take advantage of that. He'll come and step into that and cloak you, cover you, and you'll walk around drabby. You'll walk around murmuring. I mean, everything will be drabby. And so I'm just supposed to die. And you're walking around with that thing and you are supposed to live in the power of his resurrection. How do I do that when I'm so integrated? The problem is we're spirit, soul, and body. And we're integrated spirit, soul, and body. We live every day in a state of integration. What I found through this process and what Paul was found, he said, I'm going to have to do this by being found in him, not apart from him. Because Paul's journey was that I have to obtain this righteousness apart from my works. He had to find a way to separate his old way of doing things to embrace the new. Because if he tried to do it, he would just keep getting back in the same thing. And that was flesh to him. That was old man to him. Trying to obtain God by works was flesh and old man. But how did he find it? He said, I want to find two great things. I want to be conformable to his death, and I want to obtain his resurrection. To do that effectively in this life, you're going to need help. One of the things you'll find about getting deep in the things of God is you become more and more and more and more dependent upon him. And he comes through for you. He comes through the darkest seasons of your life. He'll walk through it with you. He'll restore your soul. Amen. But what we're trying to find in this lifetime is how to get and move out the old and bring in the new. And it's tough to do when we're too integrated within. That's why we have this thing called the two-edged sword. And the two-edged sword administered by our high priest, where he separates. People that are new in the Lord, they don't understand that part. He is the high priest that sitteth upon the throne, and he said that he separates spirit, soul, joint, and marrow, or spirit, soul, and body. You can look at it in Matthew when he's called it the winnowing fork. It's separating chaff from the wheat, old from the new, old wineskin from the new. Separating, sometimes it doesn't have to just be sin. It can be former identities have to be moved out so you can move in. Like he circumcisions in another one. We are those that are being circumcised within. A true Jew is one that's being circumcised inwardly, not outwardly. But even under the law, when they stepped foot in the promised land, the first thing they did, circumcise them. Why? Because you are heirs now to this promised land, and I can't have you where in Egypt. I cannot have that former identity and anoint that. We have to circumcise that identity at the hill of the foreskins. We have to circumcise that. So there's circumcision, the two-edged sword, there's a winnowing fork. All of these administrations are an operation of our high priest. And if you ever get to know this part of him, man, can he move things out. So far greater than we can. He can move it out of the way. I'm going to say this to you, and I hope you get this. The power of his death is just as powerful as his resurrection. Just because he died on the cross doesn't mean the cross has stopped. That operation, how many of you, when you enter into the right hand of God or the life of God, the rest of God, joy of God, love of God, you're moving up into something that's always functional, always operational. You look at it like a light beam and you step into it and beam me up kind of thing. It's always there. It's just a matter of whether you tune your frequency into it. There's always resurrection flowing. It's just a matter of whether we tap into it or not. The enemy knows this, so he constantly is trying to offset us from who we are. Amen? If he can offset us from who we are, he offsets us from where we're supposed to be. Amen? But there's also another elevator. There's one that goes up daily. Say daily. And there's one that goes down daily. Oh, I just want to go up. Well, we all want to go up. Paul wanted, and he was pressing for that resurrection. He wanted the Elijah resurrection. He knew he was going to be a martyr, but he was trying to get God to take him up before. He wanted to obtain that thing that Enoch, he was and he was not, where God just took him up from the earth. I mean, that is some kind of fantastic operation to obtain the resurrection. Do you know the last day church. He's coming for a bride without spot, without wrinkle. The last day church is going to be so glorious that we're all going to be caught up. We're not going to be caught up some dead church. We're going to be caught up living in a fullness of glory. We're going to obtain resurrection in our generation. We're going to obtain the resurrection. Now there's an elevator that goes down for a reason. Galatians 2:20. He says, I am crucified. Now you need to start reading all of that verse, not part of it. I am crucified with him. If you get crucified apart from him, you're going to have to dwell with that. If you do it with him, there's going to be a power unlike anything you've ever experienced. Just like I'm found in him in his resurrection and found in his death. Paul was saying, I'm found in his life, I'm found in his death. I found it. I found it. Why do we have to be found in his death? Because there's certain things innate, inherited in all of us, even though we're born again, depending on what we have passed through in this life, depending on what's in the depths of dysfunction we came out of, the operations of the flesh, the dysfunctions of the soul, the dysfunction of former generation. It doesn't matter, really. It does in a sense, but when you're born again, you're all equal. Say equal. We're all equal. But I can promise you this, somebody who was raised under a spirit-filled environment of love with very godly parents that loved and nurtured is going to have a lot easier than someone who was raised in a state of dysfunction. Because until that dysfunction can be moved out of the way, they're going to struggle with things they're not even called to struggle with. And they are called to overcome. Amen? And it doesn't really matter what person's struggling with. A struggle is a struggle. We're called to overcome. But here's the deal. We know that we cannot, now get this point. We know we cannot obtain his righteousness in our own works, no more than Paul could in Philippians chapter 3. We know that we have to obtain righteousness of God by what? Faith. In who we are, the identification of who we are in him, and in the receiving. So as we receive the grace. So there's two forces there. One is burying. One is resurrecting. So when we're approaching righteousness, we've learned that I cannot approach this in my own strength. It's not going to work for you. You'll have to approach it in faith. Say the righteousness of God by faith, right? But why do we approach the other apart from him? Why do, if we're approaching resurrection in faith, why can't we approach crucifixion in faith? If I can stand with him in his righteousness, apart from my works, why can't I stand with him in crucifixion? You can, but you're going to have to know a few things if you're going to do that. You have to know a few things about what he's done, about what he's made available for us. You have to know a few things about your positional standing in him. And if you'll get this, when you learn to do this by faith, you can move mountains out of your life that have been there a very long time. Or you can keep dealing with them. How many of you have been dealing with something? How many of you have been going around the same mountain for 10 years? Raise your hand. Maybe issues that 10 years ago were bothering you are bothering you now. Those are called mountains. They have to be moved out of the way. I got news for you. They just don't move out of the way until you decide to get into the program with God to move them. You have a part in this. I remember I had a friend, loved this friend, was always, well, no, I can't do this. It's just going to be God. That's it. God's got to do it. I'm like, that's not going to work like that. It's a partnership. If God was going to do this, we would be all in a very perfected state right now, wouldn't we? Amen. If God would just do it, he needs partnership. And when you can partner with him in resurrection and in, well, why do I got to crucify? Because you have to get certain things out of the way to move to the next level. There are certain things that God, by his grace, will overlook at the level you're at. There's a lot of stuff he overlooks in a lot of us. Well, I would say better word, cover. He doesn't overlook it. He's looking at it. Cover's a better word. He's looking at it. He's covering you in the hope that you're going to overcome. He's going to give you space. He's not up there like you didn't overcome and he gives you the boot. He didn't do that. He's very merciful, incredibly merciful. God is way more merciful than he is judgmental. You need to know that. Incredibly merciful, but you can step over the line at times. And if you step over the line, you're going to meet another part of him. What happens is you're operating and functioning in God. And sometimes when you're in a new level, it's glorious and you're in that level and everything's awesome. Life's awesome. But what's going to happen is, and when ministers, when I get around ministers, I can see it. What will happen is you'll get to a certain ceiling in your life. You'll get to a ceiling where you can't go any further. You're locked in, depending on the level of vision. And you have to graduate from that place to the next level. Sometimes you don't know what it is God's looking for to graduate. And your mind definitely doesn't have the capacity, even your eye doesn't have the capacity to show you what you need for graduation. How many of you, let me see if I'm in our place, want to graduate from where you are right now? How are you going to do that? For graduation in the kingdom is not easy. Because it requires a transformation from you. Some things are easier than others. Some things you don't know what he's requiring. Some things he's going to have to move things out so he can move things in. Amen? God's going to move out inhabitants so he can come and inhabit. Amen? Sometimes they're inhabitants of the land. He says, I gave you the promised land. Go get it. Well, wait a minute. You gave this to me, but there's giants in the land. Yeah, there are giants in the land, but you go take them out. Praise God. He didn't go in there and take those giants out in front of them without them. He did it with them. Amen? Well, sometimes those giants are in us. And we don't know they're there. Or we do know they're there and we haven't addressed them. Amen? And sometimes we just put up with it. And sometimes it becomes familiar. Sometimes it's hidden. Sometimes it's deep. Amen? But ultimately, we're called to overcome. How are we going to do this? Because, now listen to me on this. This is huge. If you do not graduate in the appointed time you're supposed to graduate, I'm not looking at anybody. If you do not graduate in the appointed time you're supposed to graduate, life is going to get seriously miserable for you. Now, let me explain that. With every season of your life, God is going to account for the time it needs. With every season, he's going to be depositing and withdrawing. Say depositing, withdrawing. He's going to be removing things and putting things in. With every season of your life is designed for your next level. Sometime when your first season, it's awesome. Everything's good. But God is going to always be working. But in his divine omniscience, he draws a circle around your season. And he gives you an appointed time to account for your issues and for your failures. And because that appointed time that he's giving you for that graduation, he's accounting your stuff. Everybody's different. God designs it according to what he's asking you to overcome and asking you to receive. You have to overcome and receive. Overcome and receive. He's putting things in, taking things out. In that season that he drew that circle, there's a plenty of time to function. There's plenty of time for you to do what you're going to do. There's a lot of liberty there, especially in the early seasons. As your seasons grow in him, does that rope get really tight? But his glory gets greater too. You're living in him more and not apart from him. In the early days, you're living apart from him and doing a little bit with him and a little lot with you. And then it's less of you, more of him. Then it's none of you and all of him. But in the season of graduation, he's going to have you address certain things. If you don't address them, you're not going to go over into the next level. And sometimes you're watching somebody else go over that got over a whole lot faster than you did. I said, well, wait a minute. I've been trudging along here and I've done this and I've done, because you're basing your graduation on your service or your works. And if you're in a works oriented church instead of a transformation oriented church, you're trying to say, well, if I do this and this and this, I'm going to graduate. Thank God we're in a transformation oriented church that's going to keep putting you in the place of your graduation. If you get to the edge of that season and you hadn't got it together yet, you'll know it. Because you'll know, you'll look back and say, God, you've given me so much grace. And I keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. And what happens when you're supposed to be stepping over to the next season, you're locked. At that point, you're going to experience things you were never called to experience. Because grace will... Now, write this down. God is always moving. If you decide to get stuck, doesn't mean he is. So what happens, he moves his glory into the next level. And what you had before is this, all this grace, all of a sudden there's nothing. Because God moved. Now you found yourself in a situation of one trial after another, after another, after another, and you're living disoriented because you didn't stay with him. But even then, though it's going to be difficult, I'm not going to lie to you, all of that is going to get you over. What I'm going to give you is a way to graduate without all the pain. Because every time we talk about sufferings and wilderness and dying, nobody wants to do that because they relate to that as all the sufferings and the wilderness and the dying they've been doing in their circumstances. I'm not talking about circumstantial death here. Did you hear that? I'm not talking about what you're encountering. I'm going to talk to you about an operation in God that can move things out of the way and get you ready for your graduation. Because there's people going to be graduating. We must, as a people of God, graduate. We must graduate into the resurrection. We must graduate into the glory. We must graduate. We can't stay stuck anymore. Amen? And there's a power to do that. And much and many times the graduation is going to consist of a level of transformation we have not given God that he wants. Don't go get a list out because you'll get it all wrong in the first place. Well, I got to do this, this, and this. No. What I want you to do is to be found in him. If we don't learn this part of him, we're going to be doing things and experiencing things and not having the appropriate kind of power necessary to change things. And what happens, we end up having to transform through pain, and lots of it, intense pain. There is an operation in God. And the high priest said the winnowing fork is in hand. Why does he have to separate spirit, soul, joint, and marrow? Because there are parts of you that are old and parts of you that are new. It's pretty simple. But it all gets intermeshed. And you're wanting him to take all of you up into the glory. And he says, I want to take all of that up in the glory, but there are certain things that have to get separated, circumcised, separated. The winnowing fork cut out. It can be chaff, it can be the old wineskin, it can be sin, it can be old and former identity of what you were. One of the greatest things to keep you from shifting is who you are or who you are right now. Wearing something that God is trying to transition you out of. How many of you know you can be miserable, but comfortably miserable? But God requires the transformation. And so there's this place in him. Go to Romans chapter 12. The Bible says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Romans 6 said, he that dieth unto sin, he died unto sin once. And you died with him. Say you died with him. Carlos was touching on this the other day. You died with him. You were crucified with him. You were buried with him. All of that happened. But how come this stuff is there? Because your soul did not get born again. And your body did not get born again. Your spirit did. Don't you wish at least our soul could have got born again? I said, God, I know you're going to leave me in the body, but could you have just had my soul born again? He goes, well, what's the fun in that? He goes, then you have nothing to overcome, do you? Oh, if our soul was born again like our spirit was, we'd all be walking around perfect. But he's requiring us to overcome. Because they didn't get born again, but something did happen legally. Say legally. Not legalistic, but legally. Listen, God doesn't do anything unless he does it from a legal position. Christ couldn't even be anointed of the Holy Ghost until he died. How is he going to be anointed of the Holy Ghost to introduce a new covenant when he's going to die at the end of that covenant? He had to be buried in that Jordan. John said, I need to baptize you. He says, no, John, you got to baptize me. And you're not pouring a little water over my head. Put me under. Because I have to die. The day I go in this Jordan, I am legally bound to the cross. Because when I come up, the Father's going to anoint me. The Father is going to affirm who I am. And I'm going to introduce a new covenant. But I can't really pay the price to the end, but I'm bound to it. That's why the Jordan is so powerful. There's a death and a life there. There's a burial and a resurrection there. And if you can learn both, you're going to be something the enemy will have to truly contend with in the last days. Because God has something so powerful, he can move so much out of you that you don't even know it's there. When he does that, the thief will come, but he shall have no place. Sometimes we get the impression he has no place right now. I did that for years, and he had many places in me, more than I could possibly even imagine and more than you even want to imagine, trust me. But the beautiful thing is there is a transformation, a power to put stuff down that I don't have to do this alone. Say, I'm not alone. I learned to die by faith the way I was living by faith. That sounds really strange, doesn't it? Let me say it like this. I learned to plug in to something that was constantly in motion. There was an elevator going up and an elevator going down. The elevator going down was for my old. The elevator going up was for the new. But I had to get before him so he could separate. He's the only one that can separate what's old and new. You can't do that. There's no power anywhere in the earth can separate the elements, spirit, soul, and body. He has to separate it. He has to. And more importantly, if you can give him the proper permission to do so, he can bury that. But you have to know something. That body and your soul has legally already died. Every part of it. Law of sin and death was legally broken off of you. Every stronghold, action, reaction, behavior pattern, every emotion that was not of God legally was buried with his death. He said, glorify God in your spirit and in your body, which are God's, which he owns. How can he own? He said, your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. I said, Lord, it still belongs to the world. He goes, it really doesn't. It lives in the world, but legally, it already died. Listen to this. That's why in Romans 6, he says, sin will have no dominion over you. Well, how come sin has? Because we allow it. Now, sometimes it can feel like it overpower you. But if you can begin to understand what I'm talking to you, you're going to get the Lord involved with this and not just you trying to change. Because everybody hates the areas they need to change. But that self-hatred will not produce transformation. It's the power of his cross and the ongoing death, burial, and resurrection. He said, the body's dead because of sin. Romans 6, I'm planted together in the likeness of his death. I'm planted together and I'm raised in the likeness of resurrection. Death, life, death, life, death, life. I die daily. Man, when I used to do that, I was like, oh my God, I got to take up my cross today. And it's not like that. Not in the spirit. There's power to do this. There's power to die and power to live. You don't have to do all this alone, but you're going to have to know a few things about what God's done in the administration of our high priest. Go to Romans 12. Ephesians, what's it say? Put off the old man. 1 Corinthians 9. What's it say? I put my body under and I bring it into subjection. Paul said, I put it down. I'll bring it in subjection. You are called in the process of this transformation. Put off. You have a responsibility and so does God. Today, in these last Father's House 5 minutes, I'm going to show you how to get started. Amen. I'm going to promise you, should you do this and be daring to go out there and understand what I'm talking about, when you first do it, it's going to be like anything else you do. First started at the right hand of God and you were trying to go through the door. Remember the door, how hard that was to get through? And now we walk right through. You remember the different areas we move into with God? We were moving in by faith, but they kept mechanical at first. And all of a sudden, you kicked in. All of a sudden, just kicked in. I remember different one of us, we would coming up and we'd struggle and struggle and struggle, and all of a sudden, bam, it happened. You stay with it, it breaks open. Amen. Now, Romans 12 says something pretty amazing. If you can get this, present. I cannot present something to God if I'm not in his presence. Present your body. A what? There you go again. Living sacrifice. Living yet dead. Present your body a living sacrifice. The very first order of things, if you're dealing with something you cannot overcome, is stop trying to do it alone. Present. He already knows it's there anywhere. Bring it to him. Don't hide from him. Whatever you do, don't hide from him. You'll never grow by hiding from him. You got to bring it into the light. If you don't, God will. Amen. Say present. As I present, listen to these words, sacrifice. They would bring the sacrifice to the high priest. And he would set that sacrifice on the altar. He would divide it and place it on the altar. That's what Christ does. You present, he divides, and he places the old on the altar, and the new he sends up into glory. He's the only one that can do that. And as you learn to do that on a daily basis, just the presenting alone, to stop hiding it from him and just present it to him. Say, Lord, I present this. Now you do need to ask forgiveness and you've got to come clean with it. But you can't come after that every day and just keep saying, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. You got to start appropriating faith. Lord, you said this thing was dead. You said you buried this in baptism. You said that I could say in this sycamore tree, be plucked from the root and cast into the sea. Sometimes those trees are dead trees within us that have got to be plucked up. You present into his burial. What Anna and I have done in Ezekiel 47, remember he talked about how the water would break out of the right side of the temple, the foundation stone, right hand of God. He went out 1,000 feet, 1,000 measures, past the ankles, past the knees, past the loins, past the heart, waters that have gone over the head. What is that? Baptism. Before ever God does something, there's always a baptism. Even Peter threw himself over the water. There's a baptism. He didn't realize that he was going to have to encounter a massive death in his own life. There's always a baptism that precedes the glory. And so what Anna and I do is we present spirit, soul, and body. Lord, you are the one that separates old from new. Old wineskin, new wineskin. You separate chaff from wheat. You separate it. And what we do is we march that thing right down into the bottom of the Jordan. We carry it just like your spirit ascends up into the right hand of God in glory. We carry that thing down where it belongs. And we lay that thing down into the Jordan, in the belly of the Jordan, where it legally already exists, and we start pronouncing the legal rights. You have no legal right to operate or function in my life. This day I declare you buried in these waters. This day I declare you broken and severed, and every cord, chain, and tie that has bound me, severed. You can take off reproach, betrayal. You can take off so many things. We've done this. We have seen God take things off. I mean, cut them off and leave them buried. We have become very skilled at this. We do it every day now. In fact, we have a little chest down there every day that has that day's date on it. The Bible says, I die daily. We take that old man, we present him to the winnowing fork. Lord, you separate him. You separate him. Paul said, I keep my body under. I put him down. Take off the old man. There is an action in the spirit, a required action of taking off, surrendering, submitting, presenting. It's an action that you do with God in his presence. However you do that and it works, that's fine. I'm telling you, this works. I've seen it work. I've encountered it. And it's powerful. I'm speaking to leaders, but I'm speaking to every one of you. If you want to graduate, lay that man down. Trust him. In the beginning, it might be mechanical. In the beginning, you might not feel anything. But if you continue to know, legally, you buried this man here. He has no right to stay in me. I present him to you, separate him from me, and I lay him into this grave. January 19th, 2020. This day, you are buried in baptism. Every emotion, every action, every reaction, every foul thing, every old thing. Sometime, it's not just sin, it's old identity. You know your soul can get trapped in old seasons. It gets trapped. You view life from a season that you're supposed to be out of. You view things from it and you're trapped in it. It's part of your soul. It's part of the way you view life. You've got a lens mechanism that needs to get buried. Some of you need to take the lens of your soul and bury it. So you need to take 20 years ago and bury the lens. Bury the betrayal. Bury the trespass. Bury it to God until the day you'll feel. He'll cut that thing off. You'll feel it. Sometimes there's spirits associated with it. They're all locked up into that part. And when he does and he shuts that chest, when we're done, we shut that thing together and we lock it. We lock it. We have found power in it. And in the beginning, and Anna can even test this. She did. When we first started, I was already doing it, but she was just there with me. She said, "I'm with you, baby. I'm with you." But then, because she did it enough and stayed with me, it started happening to her. I don't live down there. I just go down there and lay it down and come out. I live in the glory. I'm not going to lay in a pool of misery all my life. I take it down and I come out. But I learned to do it by faith, because if I didn't, I was going to live in it. And I found out that the enemy is going to constantly have me live in that past. He was going to constantly lock me up. We've taken cords down there and severed them. Cords that tied us. You don't know there are cords that tie you to the past. You don't know what is affecting you. You don't know why you respond to what you respond to. You think sometime you're justified in the way you responded. In my control days, in my defense days, everything was justified in my mind because I had two big spirits. And they weren't God. But I could justify everything and then retaliate and come out feeling justified. When really I was just full of the devil, God unlocked all that stuff and unloaded all that stuff and flushed all that stuff and buried all that stuff. And he continues to bury. I don't trust my old man, even though he's under. He can quickly. I have a really bad old man. A lot of history. I'm like, God, why did you have me in front of everybody with all this stuff? Because as you can be an example, he goes, you are overcoming. Sometimes people will view you from who you were. And I'm like, God, I'm not even that person. But, you just got to live with that. That's part of, you know, your fruit will eventually catch up and grow on your tree. And you can't go convincing people of who you are. The one that you have to be accountable to is God. Amen. Is you're accountable to him. But listen, you can put him down. When you learn to do it by faith, there'll be authority. It'll rise. He will separate this. He will put this down instead of struggling with all the time and getting into a position all the time of self-hatred with it, which you'll never overcome with self-hatred. You can't overcome like that. And you'd want to give up and quit. I can't do this. I'm doing all this stuff's always out. You live in that vein. Or you can live in a victory that's there. I said, God, why are people not operating in this? Why is this operation hadn't been preached and taught? It's one of the most powerful things I've ever experienced in my life. Bar none. Why am I? He goes, it's an apostolic, and it's what I'll use to perfect my church in the last days. I will bring all people. I'll bring those who are following me with all their heart. I'm going to bring them into the depths of baptism. And I'm going to bring them to the heights of resurrection. And when he starts cutting off, your spirit will soar. You'll start moving in dimensions in God. Like, what is this place? What is this glory? Oh, it's everything we want. I found I can do it with him and not apart from him. Here's again, I found out he's for me the whole way through. He's not intimidated by my stuff. He doesn't stand in judgment over me. He stands in judgment over my old man. See, he makes the difference. We have it. You think he views you in the lenses of your old man. He's already separated the identity. He loves you. He's already separated, because what happens is our old man gets convoluted and we think that God's viewing it this way. He's already separated. He goes, listen, I only want to bury the old. I don't want to bury you. I want you to thrive and live. I want you to live in the fullness of life. And I want you to express the colorful operations of life and glory and grace and love and freedom. And all of that. I want you to be the expression of that. But Esau, I hate. Because Esau will sell his inheritance for a bowl of flesh. I hate the Esau, but I don't see you as Esau. I see you in Christ, in me. I see you in my design. See, God makes the distinction of separation. We have it. And the reason we have it is because it's still convoluted. So as we start presenting at the throne of grace, the two-edged sword, separate the elements. You've got to get separated. You have to start separating what is old and what is new. Because if you can separate what's old and new, you won't wear the heaviness of the past. You'll start seeing that is buried. And as he starts separating the old, he'll start telling you the throne of grace. And sometime he'll bring it up, then you start the burying process. Listen, you guys are mature. You can do this. Don't go out here and say, I have no idea what he's talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Do it. Get with him. Sit in front of him. Present. You are a living sacrifice. There are parts. Get over it. There are parts that are going to have to die. Trust me. And there is a whole part of you that's going to live. And that's the manifested sons of God that are soon going to walk the earth. Listen, I'm closing with this. You can move mountains if you'll stop trying to do it yourself. But you're going to have to get with him to do it. You're going to have to get where he is and learn how he does this. And he'll cut the stuff out. You'll work with him in it. I remember he was exposing things and both Anna and I. And I said, something was coming up with Anna. I said, now you speak to that. She goes, what do you mean speak? I said, commanded. He plucked from the roots. I could have done it for her. I have sitting with the authority to do it, but I wanted her to learn how to do it. Because God had opened it. Because when we're around the glory, nothing survives the glory. Everything's got to come up. And just speak to it. Command it. Plucked up from the roots. And I mean, with a matter of days, that whole tree of past things came out. Seasons where you were trapped, released. We'll start to develop a place of freedom we've never had before. And living in it. And the glory of it. It's awesome. It's a crucified life, but we're not walking around crucified. Listen, by the time I come out, I'm in glory. I don't sit there and walk around with death on me. I go bury it and I go up. Do not go bury it and don't go up. You bury and then go up. That's it. You go back up. Go on in. You'll be amazed at how full God will be when he starts moving things out of the way. If you learn this operation, if you will learn to do this, it's going to be weird for you in the beginning, like anything new. It's going to be a little strange. But if you'll present and you'll present and you'll present, sometimes you won't feel anything. Just keep presenting. Go do it by faith. And all of a sudden, like everything else, everything will catch up. Faith will catch up. The operation will start engaging. I don't wake up looking for what's wrong with me. I go in front of him in a light that will tell me what's wrong with me. I'm fully aware of my issues. I'm fully aware because I live with him. But I don't live with him anymore. When he shows it to me, I don't fall apart. I ask forgiveness. I repent. I don't fall apart. I take it. I say, all right, you want to bury this? Let's go bury it now. He needs your cooperation. If you think he's going to do that apart from you, it's not going to happen. This level's apostolic and he needs your permission. Amen. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.